had to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5377-3888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy. Mama Mia, it is a glacious. What's the difference between the facts and the truth? What's the difference between the facts and the truth? Amazing, huh? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're running around and you can't sit and watch the show because you got things you just got to do. Excuse me. You have things that you just got to do, and so you got a podcast. No matter where you are and what you're doing, you can still listen to the show. We made it possible. He made it possible. On your iPhone or iPad, anywhere in the world, by calling the listen line on Talk Screen Live at 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Manhood Hour is coming up in the third hour. It is Wednesday, and every Wednesday in the third hour of the show, it is Manhood Hour. Amazing, huh? I have a guess for now, and I'm going to get to your calls after the guest is down here. You're going to like this. Oh, we don't have the guest yet? Oh, okay. We don't have the guest yet, so we can be kind of moving forward. Oh, let's see. He is about to connect. It's a spiritual battle, a warfare between good and evil. They said the guest is about to connect. A battle between good and evil, and it's interesting. Really. It is so interesting that it is amazing. It has nothing to do with color. Male nor female, rich nor poor, black nor white, no such thing as Debbie Dad, no isms. no anti-Semitism, no racism, no isms, no homophobism, or Allahuabbaism. Is either right versus wrong. No white supremacists. It's all made up. It's so interesting, too, to realize that all that stuff is just a setup by the world in order to keep you angry and control you. Keep you emotional. Even if you're not angry, but emotional. I think we're going to have to move on because we don't have a guest yet, right? Okay, we'll have to reschedule the guest then.
No, I'm sure he's messaging us right now.
I don't know what that means.
To get the link so he can get on.
But why? That hasn't already been done.
We did. We sent it. He's about to connect.
Okay. Amazing. When will you wake up? If not now, when? Really? Where will you take control of your own life? If not now, when? When? If not now, when? I have with me, and I'm not making this up, folks. Really, I'm not saying it to make him feel good or you feel good or anything. I have with me one of the smartest black men on this side of heaven. And I met Chad O'Jackson during the filming of the Uncle Tom movies, 1 and 2. And his research was, I've never seen anyone, well, other than Bill, I've never seen anyone who did such thorough research on his work or if you really want to know what's going on. And smart and entrepreneur and black. What's up? And they said it couldn't be done in America. Just not true. I have with me Chad O'Jackson. He is an entrepreneur, researcher, best known for his 2022 film, Uncle Tom 2. Chad I don't know what that is. And Jared's not out there, right? Chad advocate for more moral Christian ethics, family values, independence, and intentional citizenship. And it's an honor to have you back on, Chad. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jesse, thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
It is Men's History Month, so August is Men's History. Happy Men's History Month.
Same to you. Happy Men's History Month.
Thank you. He's kind of dark. Do y'all want to show him that way? He look extra black. We can't do anything about that, Jesse. Oh, okay. Oh, I shouldn't be reading that out loud. Oh, so Chad, you're sitting in a kind of a dark room where the light is not bright enough. We can see you, but not like we normally see you. Are you okay with that?
That's fine.
Okay. So, tell the people what is, before I get to your, he has his brand new film coming out soon, folks, about Martin Luther King Jr., and it's interesting. But what is intentional citizenship?
Intentional citizenship means basically taking America back, understanding what it means to preserve our constitutional republic in so many ways, we are losing it due to multiculturalism, due to this push for a kind of global country. And this has been happening for, I would argue, well over 100 or 150 years. And so what I mean when I say intentional citizenship is realizing that America is ours, and we don't just keep it just because we're born here. We have to actually fight to keep it.
Yeah. Is it possible that America, is it possible that America will ever come back? Is that possible that we can ever have real America back again?
It is possible, but it won't happen overnight. I think it will take another 200 years to really win it back. And it has to be done in a multifaceted way. It has to be done with the churches preaching the gospel again. It has to happen with men being men again, women being real women again. It has to happen by taking back the education system, taking back basically the institutions. It has to happen within the culture, quite frankly. It has to happen in a very pervasive way. And I believe people are beginning to wake up. And that's part of the reason why we made this project, the MLK Project, is because I believe that a lot of us are kind of caught under a spell,
yeah,
where we believe certain things about our country, about our so-called heroes, so on and so forth, that is neutralizing us and defanging us to the point where we aren't actually fighting to hold our country together because we believe that what we're doing is progressive and the right thing, when in reality it's anything but.
But the young people have been so educated in a wrong way, in such a deceiving way, generation after generation. And most of them don't know about the Constitution. They don't really know what really, how things really were. How will, knowing how brainwashed young people are, really of all races, how would that, I mean, how would that help bring back America if they so, they've been taught wrong generation after generation?
Yeah, that's exactly the concern that I have too, Jesse. And that's the reason why I think, to the extent that people believe that it will happen overnight, you already lost.
Yeah.
But if you are interested in playing the long game and having more babies and teaching those babies the right way and basically putting out content and curriculum and information and documentaries that challenge the wrong way that's being taught right now, to the extent that we begin to push back with good resources, such as what we're trying to do with this project, I believe that it's going to take time, but we have to do the work.
Amazing. Your film about Martin Luther King is coming out soon. The according to NBC News, the Trump administration released thousands of records on Martin Luther King Jr. assassination, and his family member were against it. Do you think that Trump did the right thing or the wrong thing?
I think Trump attempted to do the right thing. It is necessary to release the files. And as we know, those files were supposed to be released already in 2027. So in 2 years, the problem is that what was released, I think it was around 230,000 files that were released earlier in the month. Those files, so they're not the entirety of the files. There's a lot that's missing. There's a lot that wasn't released that basically exposes the truth of who MLK was. Now, I have gone through many of the files. I haven't gotten through all 230,000 documents, but really what they expose is much of what we already knew, that he had connections with many communists, that he was basically doing the bidding of communists. We already knew this, but these recent files corroborated that and basically reinforced that those realities. But I do think, Republican or Democrat, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The reality is the government has a desire to, in a sense, maintain the image of who MLK was. whenever those files were released, or the morning those files were released, Pam Bondi posted to her ex account a picture of her hugged up with Alveda King, saying, it's about time America knows the truth. We need to, and she talks about Martin Luther King's greatness. And as soon as I saw that post, I knew that we're not about to get all these files.
Yeah.
You know, you just knew it because, again, whether it's Trump, and I think Trump is doing a lot of good things, but the reality of it is I think a lot of this information and a lot of these narratives, they go deeper than Trump. They transcend regime changes and, you know, this president coming in, that president going out. It's much bigger than all of that because they have to maintain this image of people like Martin Luther King, people like Franklin D. Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln and others that we've been taught are heroes. They have to preserve that image because it's all about control. It's all about keeping people in line so that we aren't intentional citizens, so that we aren't doing what needs to be done to take our country back.
Amazing. What do you think we're missing? Oh, let me ask this first. The civil rights movement, Martin Luther King and that whole movement thing. So are you saying that it was there were communist people involved in that, and did Martin Luther King know it? Did he participate? Is that the way he wanted it to be?
Yeah, Martin Luther King was definitely a Marxist. He studied Marx in college. He learned how to basically hide his Marxism behind this idea that he was a pastor, even though he didn't really believe in Jesus like that. I mean, he wrote about not believing that Jesus was, you know, born of a virgin, that he didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't believe the basic tenets of Christianity, yet he's walking around as if he's a pastor. His real agenda was to push Marxism. He wrote to his girlfriend at the time, who would later become his wife, that these Marxist tenets like redistribution of wealth and no more wars and all these things, he said that this is the gospel that I will preach to the world. And so it's not the gospel of the Bible. He's talking about Marxism. This is the gospel that I will preach to the world. And so shortly after he graduated college, he teamed up with people like Bayard Rustin, who was a communist functionary. He used to be with the Young Communist League and was doing a lot of organizing and agitating for the Communist Party at a kind of informal capacity. He teamed up with Stanley Levison, who was a New York Jewish communist, a top financier for many communist front groups in New York. He teamed up with a communist lawyer, an entertainment lawyer in Los Angeles named Clarence B. Jones. And from there, his organization, which was called the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, was chock full of communist functionaries who worked previously for an organization called the Southern Christian or the Southern Negro Youth Congress. There were ministers who or so-called ministers who were with this organization who were communist, who flooded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which Martin Luther King would later come to head. And so the reality of it is King was surrounded by communists, and he knew he was. It wasn't as if he was, you know, caught off guard or anything like that. But what was interesting is that anytime he would be asked by a reporter, hey, are there communists in your organization? He would always lie and say no. He would act like a deer in the headlights. No, of course there's not communists in my organization, knowing full well that there was. So, I mean, this is a man who was considered to be the moral leader of the nation.
Yeah.
And he's actively lying on national television about what's going on. And as we would find out, he not only were there communists in his organization, there was a direct line of communication between the Soviet Union and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
What I remember, what I can remember about when it first started is I remember the older black men and women did not want us to participate in the so-called civil rights movement. And they were saying that Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't real and it wasn't no good. They were like, don't get involved with that. Did we lose him?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your film went out for a minute.
Okay.
They were saying, don't get involved with that mess. Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King Jr. is not real about that. And they they didn't want us to be involved in that. So it seemed like some of the older black generation understood it wasn't what he was saying that it was. How was he able to preach like that and so many black people followed him? And he was a communist, as you said, he was a communist. How was he able to get away with that?
That's a really good question. So there was a communist who worked for Dr. King named Hunter Pitts Odell, or Jack Odell for short, is what people called him. And the Southern Christian Leadership Conference by the early 60s found that they couldn't allow their organization to grow, or they had a lot of trouble trying to get their organization to grow. And the reason for it was because many of the older blacks in the South didn't want anything to do with the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
They saw Martin Luther King as an agitator. They saw him as a troublemaker, and they didn't want to be caught up, you know, with what MLK had going on. And so Jack O'Dell and James Bevel, he was another one. I think it was actually more James Bevel than Jack O'Dell. But James Bevel had this bright idea to go into the schools and get the children riled up and get them angered and get them embittered, because he said, and I quote, "We believe that if we can get to the children, we can get to the adults."
Yeah.
So this was their strategy. And so what they would do is they would go into schools like they did in Birmingham, get these kids out of school and pour them into the streets so that they could basically antagonize the police departments to turn dogs and hoses on the children, so that the parents will then be angered and then get them more and more involved. And they see King as some kind of hero who came to save the day, when the reality of it is all of it was planned all along. There were some sheriffs and police chiefs who knew what King was up to, because they tried this in other cities like Albany, Georgia, for example, where they came into the city and they tried to get the kids riled up. And the idea was, for example, with the police chief there in Albany, he knew what King had going on. So they knew that his faction was coming to Albany, and they said, look, King's going to come. They're not going to pull any permits. They're going to try to march in the streets, and we have to arrest people who are unlawfully demonstrating and parading without a permit. So our jail can only hold so many people. What we need to do is we need to team up with local neighboring towns to be able to put people in those jails if our jails fill up. And the reason why he knew this is the reason why he wanted to do it this way is because it was common practice in those days to where people are demonstrating and parading without a permit. If you can't put them in jail, you have to use other means to disperse the crowd, which includes dogs, which includes fire hoses, which includes batons and all the things. They used to do this not only with blacks, but with whites too.
Yeah.
You can find video footage right now of them dispersing crowds in this way, dating as far back as the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, where they were dispersing all white labor unions who were unlawfully gathering. You have a right to gather and to demonstrate because you have a First Amendment right of free speech, but you have to do it lawfully. You still have to control for traffic, for noise, for all the things, because we are a country of order and laws. And so you can do it. You just have to pull the permit. So they were having a lot of success doing this until they got to Baltimore, because apparently Bull Connor didn't get the memo. Whenever they, so what they did was they went into the schools in Birmingham. The teachers and administrators allowed for Martin Luther King's group to come into the schools and to show the kids, because the kids were none the wiser. They didn't know what was going on.
Right.
They were happy. Like, there was nothing wrong. What James Bevel and King did is they came in and they were allowed to show the kids propaganda film to try to get them angry, to try to get them riled up. They would also do things like tell the black kids, like, look, don't you notice, just like Satan, don't you notice how you get the hand-me-down books and how you get the mismatched uniforms from the other white schools Like, they don't like you. They don't treat you the same. Never mind the fact that the Negro schools are actually getting more funding than the white schools in many cases. And as we would later realize, the problem is that many of these Negro school administrators were misappropriating the funds. A lot of it was landing in their pockets in some cases. And then in other cases, a lot of Negro school administrators, even though they would get the money and get lots of money, they were more thrifty with the money. And so what that means is, instead of buying brand new textbooks, they would just repurpose the textbooks from other white schools or from other Negro schools so they can let the money stretch. It wasn't a situation where the white administrators were, you know, putting the Negroes last. That's a myth we find in many cases. But that didn't matter to Martin Luther King and his group. They would lie to these kids to try to get them embittered, try to get them riled up. And so they said, look, we're going to have something called D-Day. And on D-Day, y'all are going to get out of class, go to 16th Street Baptist Church in Baltimore or in Birmingham, and they were going to take to the streets and march. And so that's exactly what they did. Bull Connor rounded them all up and arrested them to where the jails were able to fill up very quickly. And it was at that point on the next day where they didn't have any place to put these kids. And so they got out the dogs, they got out the fire hoses. And as soon as they started to turn the dogs and the hoses on these teenagers, that's when the cameras started to roll. And when they did that, those images went all out around the country, around the world. Everybody saw it. They were dismayed. They were displeased. Why are they doing this to these Negroes? They're just trying to get their freedom. They're just trying to get their rights. This is tried and true Hegelian dialectic. It's tried and true Marxist tactics. And King benefited from it insofar that he was looked at as a hero when in reality he put these kids in harm's way. When it's important to note, he never allowed his own kids to participate in these marches and in these protests. He would use other people's kids, but he would never use his own kids.
That's amazing. You're right about that. I don't remember ever seeing his kids be involved in it.
Right. But this had the desired effect insofar that many Negro adults began to come around eventually and say, oh, why are they doing this to our kids? We're just trying to vote. We're just trying to do this. We're just trying to do that. And so they were able to get to the adults by going through the kids.
Wow. So Martin Luther King's father, he was supposed to have been a preacher. Was he a socialist too, or was he a real preacher?
He was a socialist.
The father?
The father was a socialist. In his unpublished memoir, he considered himself or called himself a purveyor of the social gospel, which all that means is I preach socialism masked as Christianity. In fact, whenever he visited Germany before the rise of Hitler, he was enamored of Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer. And one of the things that attracted him to Martin Luther, because his original name is Michael King. That's his birth name.
So this is Martin Luther King Jr.'s daddy, right? His father.
That's right. Wow. That's right. So his original name is Michael King. He visited Germany and learned of Martin Luther. He must have gotten a kind of skewed version of the history of Martin Luther. But what he saw Martin Luther as was somebody who came and who wrestled away authority from the Catholic Church and caused a reformation and gave that authority to the people. And so that's what attracted him to Martin Luther. He came back to the United States and changed his name to Martin Luther King. And he changed his son's name to Martin Luther King Jr. He saw himself as the American Martin Luther, who would basically take Christianity in America, rock it to its core, and revolutionize it by pushing the so-called social gospel, which is basically, once again, Marxism. That's all the social gospel is.
Hold that thought. Sorry to cut you off, but hold that thought. I got to take a quick break. Back in a moment. 888-77-JESSE. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry. because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit, and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger, because it has no love, bro. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. To me, I'm not even doing a commercial right now. I want to go get back to my guest, Chad O'Jackson. Chad O'Jackson. Now you see what I mean? He is one of the smartest black men I ever met. And he has a brand new film coming out, the MLK Project, and an historical account. And it's coming out soon. You got to see it. We're going to tell you in a minute how to get it. But, Chad, just finish the point you were making about Martin Luther King Jr.'s daddy. I didn't know he was a socialist as well.
Yeah, so he was a socialist. And the thing about him, which is also true of a lot of people, I guess, of his generation and of his contingent, these kind of self-professed intellectuals who were behind the pulpit and were preaching and teaching this kind of social gospel, is they still held true to some, to many traditions and to many ways of looking at things, but they disagreed with the free market system. They disagreed with, I guess, capitalism, to put it in a word, and they believed that socialism would be the thing that would liberate the Negro. So this is what people like King Sr. believed.
Wow.
And so once again, he changed his name to Martin Luther King Sr. because he saw himself as the figure or the individual. He saw him and his son as the duo who would, in a sense, wrestle away kind of authority and popularity from Christianity in America, and to revolutionize it by pushing the social gospel, which is, once again, It's socialism under the guise of Christianity.
Right.
It looks like Christianity to a lot of people who aren't paying attention, but really underneath it, all it is socialism. And it differs from the gospel, the biblical gospel, because the biblical gospel calls man to repent,
yeah,
to turn from his wicked ways, to trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and to teach them how to walk as a new man. That's what the gospel is, basically in a nutshell. Whereas the social gospel, which is what Martin Luther King Jr. and Sr. were preaching, doesn't put the onus on you to repent, but it puts the onus on society and systems to change, to push for policies and legislation that brings about equity and equality by extortion and coercing the taxpayer to pay those who aren't interested in working, into paying for the breadlines and for praying for welfare and things of this nature. So the social gospel is not the gospel at all. And I'm putting it in the most basic way that I possibly can,
right,
but that is what Martin Luther King Sr. wanted to do. And it would actually be his son who would go further than him in implementing it, especially when it comes to the so-called black church.
So Martin Luther King Jr. really didn't go up to the top of the mountain, looked over, and saw the glory of the coming of the Lord.
No, he sure didn't. He sure didn't. Nor did he write that.
Who wrote that? Mercy.
His handlers. He had a list of. Oh. He had a team of advisors and speechwriters who wrote all of his speeches.
Wow. And he would deliver them.
The thing about King is he had something like a photographic memory. He grew up watching his dad preach, so he understood oratory skills. He understood the basics of delivering an effective speech. He understood pacing and inflection. These are the kind of things that King grew up watching and seeing. According to those who were close to him, King was an extraordinary mimic. He can impersonate anyone almost to a T. And so he was a really good actor. I think if he wasn't a pastor, and I say this not to be funny, but I think if he wasn't a pastor, he would have made for an extraordinary actor, kind of like in a kind of Sidney Poitier caliber. But he was really effective as a speech, as a giver of speeches. But we knew that he was disingenuous with these speeches that he would give. For example, with the mountaintop speech, after having delivered that speech saying, you know, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. And you can see the emotion in his face. You can hear the trembling in his voice. He's moving the crowd. But then later that night, he would go and sleep with, I think, one or two women who weren't his wife and then beat up another one. And so King was a scoundrel. I say that not to be salacious or to be, I say that not to be funny. I say that because it's true. It's true. And the reality of it is that King was a liability to the civil rights movement. And the communists knew this, and the feds knew this. And this is the reason why they wanted to remove him from his post. They wanted to make a martyr out of him because they understood that he was better to the movement dead than he was alive. Because if he was alive, you never know what kind of newspaper article will be released that would jeopardize the entirety of the civil rights movement. If he's dead and he doesn't pose a threat to the movement, you can then use his name to push policies, to push legislation, to change the world in the way that you want to change the world. And I know that that gets very convoluted and confusing to a lot of people. Why, like, who's a good guy? Who's a bad guy in the scenario? I don't think there is a good guy in the scenario. I don't think Martin Luther King was a good guy. I don't think the communists were the good guy. And I don't think the feds were a good guy. There is no good guys and bad guys. And then too, the Republicans weren't the good guys, and the Democrats weren't the good guys. Yeah. There is no good guys. The only good guy is the person in the mirror, if you will allow him to be, by first turning to God.
Yeah.
Because God is the ultimate good guy. We can align ourselves with the good guy, with God, or we can basically fall for the tricks of the world that's being played out in front of us on a daily basis. But the reality of it is the civil rights movement was not what any of us thought it was. It wasn't started organically as this grassroots thing that sprung up out of nowhere. The civil rights movement was started by the feds in the Communist Party. The first iteration of it was called the National Negro Congress, and that was started under President FDR. The National Negro Congress, the reason why the feds had an interest in starting this civil rights movement called the National Negro Congress is because they wanted to wrestle away authority from the states. They wanted to usurp states' rights and usurp state sovereignty, and they wanted to have that power for themselves, for the federal government. They wanted to broaden the authority of the federal government. That's what they wanted to do, and they saw the civil rights movement as a means to doing that, because the civil rights movement could basically agitate the states and expose the states as being incapable of governing themselves. And to the extent that the public believes that the states are incapable of governing themselves, they will cry out to the federal government to come in and to become bigger, to become more powerful.
Yeah.
The National Negro Congress was started not only by the feds, but also with the help of Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union. It was a team effort. Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union's interest in the civil rights movement was to use it to usher in Marxism and communism into the United States and into the West at large. So they both had the same tactic. They just had different ultimate agendas and ultimate goals, and they would often clash. They would clash over a number of questions, chief among them being who should be the leader or the figurehead of this movement. The communists believe it should be King. The feds believed it should be somebody like an A. Philip Randolph or a John Lewis or someone like that. A. Philip Randolph, he was the figurehead of the civil rights movement in the 1930s and 40s. And he would be replaced by Martin Luther King. And if you go back and watch footage of the civil rights movement, you'll see something very peculiar. You'll see A. Philip Randolph, who's old and gray, he has gray hair, and he's always introducing Martin Luther King as the moral leader of our nation. Anytime he introduces King, the moral leader of our nation is what he always called him. This was A. Philip Randolph basically passing on the baton to Martin Luther King as the new leader of the movement. That's all that was. And again, when you look at, because a lot of people think that the FBI tried to get King to kill himself. That's not true. It's not true at all. When King got a letter from the FBI telling him to step aside, it goes back to them seeing and knowing that King was a philanderer, that he was involved in many orgies and sex parties and all these things. And they were afraid that that would come back to bite them and their efforts because they wanted to expand the role of the federal government. So there was a guy who worked for the FBI named William Sullivan, and William Sullivan wrote this letter to King. It wasn't J. Edgar Hoover, it was William Sullivan wrote this letter to King saying, we know about your philandering. We know about the things that you're doing. You're disgusting. You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment to the cause. You need to step aside. You know, he said, you know what you need to do, and you have X amount of days to do it. A lot of people interpret that to mean, if you don't do what we're trying to get you to do, we're going to kill you, or you may as well go ahead and kill yourself. That's not what he was trying to say. What he was saying is, if you do not step aside from the movement, we are going to leak these tapes and this information to the press, and they are going to embarrass you. That was the or else. The or else wasn't we're going to kill you. The or else was we're going to leak this to the press. And so, again, it was all a war between the communists and the feds over who should lead the movement, because they both wanted to use it for their own cause. And I understand that's, you know, I understand that's confusing to a lot of people, including Matt Gaetz, whose show I went on, Congressman Matt Gaetz, whose show I went on not too long ago, where he tried to, like, I feel like we were having two different conversations. He wanted to make it a Democrat versus Republican thing, and I said, it has nothing to do with that. It's much bigger and much deeper than that. We have to stop thinking about that.
Yeah.
King is used by both the Democrats and the Republicans to move us more towards socialism. And to the extent that we pick a side instead of seeing the truth for what it is, we're going to keep falling into this trap again and again and again.
That's amazing. And so the papers that we wanted, that they wanted President Trump to release, so they're not releasing all of these papers because it's this kind of information that we will find out as well?
That's correct. That's correct.
And so if that's true, are you saying the Trump administration is helping to cover up that too?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know if that's a really good question. I'm not going to go so far as to say that Trump is helping to cover it up. All I know is that what we have isn't the entirety of the files. When it comes to these intelligence agencies and the personnel who exist within these agencies, many of these people have been around for multiple presidencies. They know things that Trump don't know. And they know things that Pam Bondi don't know. And Tulsi Gabbard and others. And sure, they have access to files, but their time is, like, the clock starts ticking as soon as they take office.
Yeah.
You only have four-year terms. And you're talking about information and an agenda that dates way back to the turn of the 20th century, so over 100 years. And the agenda in this kind of post-war consensus has always been so-called progressivism and liberalism on the way to globalism. They envision a borderless world where everybody is under the control of one government. This is what they want, and they're playing the long game to get us there. And this is bigger than Trump. This is bigger than Bondi. This is bigger than Tulsi Gabbard. And when you look at people like King, and when you look at the feminist movement, and you look at the gay liberation movement, which would later become the LGBT movement, when you look at what's going on with this whole Islamic thing, this is all working within this kind of concerted effort to mobilize people and to silence people all at the same time, to neutralize us, to make us dependent on the system. And so this is, I guess, my long, whimsical way of answering your question. Is Trump trying to cover it up? Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. All I know is that we don't have the entirety of the files.
So because of time here, how do you know all this? I mean, where are you getting all this information from?
So a lot of this information in terms of what the feds have done in terms of the starting of the civil rights movement and all this, this is all well documented. When you look at the FBI files, a lot of it comes from the FBI files. When you look at also the communist documents, the communists have done a really good job of archiving all of their information. You can go to Marxist.org, which is one of their archive websites, and you can read correspondence. You can read words of their own visionaries that basically speaks to what it is they're trying to do, dating as far back as the late 1800s. All that information is available. When it comes to King, I mean, we have, you know, like volumes and volumes of MLK papers. This is, I believe, the one that I'm holding in my hand right now is a sixth volume, and I have all the volumes of his papers where he's talking about his love for Marxism. And you have to really understand what it is you're reading and looking at. It's about cross-referencing. The work of research and delving through the archives, it's a very daunting task, but yeah. I think it's a rewarding task because you get the information and you're able to share it with other people in hopes that you can save the country.
What, Martin Luther King Senior, I mean, Martin Luther King Jr., are his children little Marxists too?
I can only go off of what they say. A Marxist will always tell you they're not a Marxist. Right. But you have to watch what they do and listen to what they say.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it takes nothing more than scrolling through, for example, Bernice King's IG page to realize, yeah, she's a Marxist too.
Wow.
MLK III, he's a Marxist too. When you look at the basic tenets of what Marxists believe, namely redistributionist policies and DEI and all this, it's very easy to ascribe the Marxist label to these people. And yes, I do believe King, and even Alvita King, I think in many ways, and I say this not to be mean, but in many ways, she's kind of living in the light of King's popularity because she's always referencing my uncle, King, Dr. King, my uncle, Dr. King. But the reality is, I think she is, in a sense, hurting her message because if she's all about, you know, being anti-abortion and getting back to family values, if that's her message, you can't do that at the same time you're promoting Dr. King because King is antithetical to those things. He was the recipient of the first Margaret Sanger Award.
Yeah.
So how can you claim to be anti-abortion, but yet you're holding up somebody who was the recipient of the first Margaret Sanger Award? That doesn't make any sense. How could you promote family values while holding up King, who was antithetical to family values?
So he may have looked the part. I'm sorry?
But King may have looked the part as in terms of family values, but he was defaming family values with his own lifestyle on a daily basis.
So Alvita King is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., and she's a pro-life promoter. Do you, Is it possible she doesn't know all this about him? Maybe she's like dumb like the rest of us, and we don't know all this. Is that possible?
It's hard to say, but I mean, you would think being the niece and being that close and having her grandfather being Martin Luther King Sr., that she would know better than any of us what the social gospel is. She's been around enough churches to understand the difference between the social gospel and the real gospel, and understand that King was preaching the former and certainly not the latter. And so I don't know what it, I think on Alveda King's part, and I say this not to be messy, but I think maybe there's some opportunism there. And that's a vice that we all have as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a fallen state, but the reality of it is, like, a lot of us are opportunists, and we take advantage of and ride on the coattails of things in order to make much of ourselves. I think there's something like that going on as far as she's concerned. But at the same time, I do believe that she's genuine in her approach of trying to save babies who are being aborted and things of this nature. I think she's genuine in her approach, but I think that there's some opportunism going on there as well.
Oh, okay. Chad, because of time, give me a quick yes or no. And Jesse Jackson and all those people who were marching with King and carrying on with him, were they, do you know if they were socialists too, or were they aware at the time of what they were doing as well, promoting socialism?
Yes, they were. I mean, Jesse Jackson in particular, he was in cahoots with the same communist functionaries who King was in cahoots with. And Al Sharpton was an informant to the FBI. So we know that he was representative of the federal kind of use of the civil rights movement. So, yeah, they were in on it as well.
I want to, because of time again, man, I knew this was going to be interesting and we would need 8 hours, but I want to play the trailer from your new film, The MLK Project. Can we play that, Nick? Watch this, folks.
I have a dream.
If you found out, allegedly, that Martin Luther King Jr. was involved in some wild, freaky shit that seems like every other nigga you know.
That my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
Would it change how you see him?
Nope.
No.
No. Not at all.
He got hit in the head with a rock, nigga, singing We Shall Overcome.
I have a dream today.
It don't get any better.
He said he deserves some.
Yeah, he deserves whatever he wants.
He fought for us.
The moral leader of our nation.
Our leader, Dr. King.
Our leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Dr. King was our leader.
It's he who controls the narrative of the past, controls the policies of the present, and the conditions of the future.
If Dr. King was about judging people by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, should we judge King by the content of his character?
Dr. King, it's been alleged that you have been slow to sever your ties with alleged communists.
Stanley Levinson, yeah, he's always in his ear.
I mean, he wrote everything that MLK said publicly.
Always in his ear.
He rejected the deity of Christ, the resurrection, the virgin birth. He rejected a literal hell.
Can we trust someone that appears to be faithful to a movement, but he's not faithful to his family?
King's relationship with the fundamental gospel of the Bible is absolutely non-existent.
Martin Luther King is the founding father, or the kind of shifting, if you will, into America 2.0. And my question for anybody is, are we better for it?
Man. Jesse, you already... Are we on a break or what?
Don't worry about it. Just say goodbye with Chad normally, Chad, and then we'll go.
Chad, tell the people how to get your movie, when it's coming out. It's amazing, man. We're going to have you back when this movie come out, too, because I knew we didn't have enough time with you in this hour. Tell the folks when it's coming out, how to get it, and what to expect.
So this is actually a docu-series, so it's multiple parts, it's multiple episodes, not just one film.
Okay.
And you can find out more at historev.com. That's historev.com. And we were looking at mid to late October of this coming out.
That's amazing. Nick, you had a question for him? Yeah, we don't have time. Oh, okay. The Anchor Baby had a question. Last word, Chad, because of time, man. We like already going over my staff having a fit. Last word from you.
Yeah, I mean, worship God and not man.
Yeah.
Is really what it boils down to. King is somebody who's been placed on a pedestal. There's a 40-foot statue of him in Washington, D.C. We have a national holiday named after him. We have erected him into a kind of God, and he's not God. He's no deity, yeah. And he will lead us astray. So we have to worship God and not man.
So it doesn't matter to most black people what you put out. They're going to, as they were saying in the movie there, they don't care about Martin Luther King, all that other stuff, right? They don't care that he was a communist, socialist. They don't care, right?
They don't care. That's why we need to focus on the next generation and ignore the blacks.
Amazing. Thank you, man. I know we were supposed to have kept you for 30 minutes. I appreciate your patience to stand over. You said you would never run for government. You tweeted that out. Why not?
Because somebody like me will get slaughtered in the polls. People want to be lied to. People want to be massaged and told that they're so great. But the reality of it is, I think that the real change starts in the home. It starts in the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's not politics that's going to change everything. It's what we do in our own homes that's going to change things. And that's the message that I preach. And most people don't want to hear that. They want somebody else to do it for them.
Yeah.
And so I think for that simple reason, I will never win an elected office.
You're right. Anchor Baby, ask you a question. It's such a good question. We're already late.
Okay, Chad. See,
this is the Anchor Baby.
Hey, Chad.
Anchor awesome Baby, interview. Okay.
Let me ask real quick. You were talking about stability and the control these people, the government basically has over the people, you know, to keep Martin Luther King going. Is tantamount to keeping some sort of stability, to keep that image going, right? So
yeah.
I was hearing you say that. I was wondering, keeping that control and stability, did that also make the country great somehow and, like, big in some other ways?
No, it was the private sector that kept the country great. It was Christians who kept the country great. It was, I'm going to get flack for saying this, but it was white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant Christians in many ways that kept the country great. It wasn't what the government was doing. I think that to the extent that the government, especially under FDR and Woodrow Wilson and even JFK, LBJ, and many of the Republican presidents in between, to the extent that they were facilitating and pushing this kind of idea, pushing this movement forward, yes, you got some what you can call good propaganda out of that in terms of this iconography and symbolism of America being great and pride in country. You did get some of that out of there, but it was really the salt of the earth American people who were showing up to work, quite frankly, who made America great. So I don't think it was this what the feds were doing or what the so-called expert class was. I'm hoping I'm answering your question.
You totally understood my question. Thank you, Chad. Amazing answer.
I got to do a quick out, Chad. I got to say bye. Thank you, man, and we'll have you back. When the movie's out, I want you to come back and get into it even more. So thank you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Amazing. Back in a moment, folks. We'll be right back.
had to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. That's the first time in the history of Jesse Lee Peterson's show we had a guest that we just went all the way through with and could have gone longer, to be honest with you. But so it's, we made a record right there with Chad O'Jackson. You can get involved by calling 888-777-5377-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, what's the difference between the facts and the truth? What's the difference between the facts and the truth? What's the difference? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you can listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad. You can podcast as well. But no matter where you are and what you're doing, you still can be listening to the show by calling 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Manhood Hours coming up in the next hour, the third hour, Manhood Hour. Let me take some calls here. I have so many I wanted to show you and do, but I don't know. Life has a way. That interview with Chad, that discussion with Chad O'Jackson was amazing. If you missed it, it's the whole first hour, right? Check it out. And his brand new film is coming out, The MLK Project, an historical account. This is coming out. It's coming soon, all right? And we'll have him back when that is out, when that movie comes out, when that film comes out. Let me go to Germany, Her Around the World, by everybody and their mama, and talk to Jan. What? Jan, a first-time caller out of Germany. Jan, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Jan?
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, 1 year ago, I was with this woman, and she was really fine, but she was also really devilish, and at the time, I didn't realize. But then I found your videos, and there was one in particular that I want to bring up. This is like testimony. You just want to say thank you, basically. There was this one video, and there was a woman, and she had a man, and the man wanted to divorce her. And she was like, Jesse, what should I do? You know, my man, he wants to divorce me, and I don't know, what should I do? And you just said, well, let him divorce you, you know. What can you do? Because, and then you said this, and I will never forget this. Your peace can never come from another person or another thing. It can only come from God. And that, in that moment, something made click, Jesse.
Right on.
And it really turned my life around. It was amazing. So that's why I'm calling, man.
Right on. Well, and that something that clicked was the Spirit of God waking you up because you wanted it. And so that's why that happened. So stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better.
Can I? Oh, shit. Don't want to interrupt you. Sorry.
No, go ahead. That's it.
If I can connect that, because it's funny, that manhood hour is coming up. Because the funny thing is, I didn't really, before that, right, I have been working on myself for years and years. I had already forgiven my parents before I even know your show, right?
Right.
I'd done all that. I found that by myself. And I overcome money. I didn't care about fame, not about what people think about me. But I never overcame the woman. You know, the woman was my end boss. It was like the last boss.
Yeah.
And now I feel like it's done. Like it's amazing, man.
Right on.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And stay with it. I really appreciate that. Stay with it, all right?
Yeah. And can I say one last thing?
Yes.
Because you always say that, you know, it's going to get worse. And I also feel that, you know, like in the Corona times, it was like people got, like the character got tested, you know?
Yes.
I think that's going to happen again in the next 5 years
yeah.
or 10 years. It's going to get real dark. And I just want to talk to everyone that listens and to you. You know, it's going to be hard, but if we just surrender into God, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. But we got to do it, you know, because, you know, evil is working, man. Evil is really working.
One thing for sure, evil is going to get worse on this earth because it works through human beings. So it's going to get worse. But for those men and women who have returned to the Father, returned to the light, it's not going to get worse for them. It's going to only be worse for the children of the darkness, not of the light. The children of light will be fine.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But no one says it's going to be easy.
That's right. No one said it would be easy. Thank you, buddy.
Amazing, man. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Oh, amazing. Heard around the world. It's the same spirit everywhere, for I'm telling you, it's spiritual. Good versus evil, even in Germany, all the way in Germany. Isn't that amazing? Joseph is out of Ohio. Joseph, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse. How are you doing today?
All is well, Joseph.
I just wanted to call and thank you and tell you that I appreciate you speaking the truth and kind of wanted to understand how you began to have the courage to do that.
Well, it's not my courage. What happened was when God took away my anger, the spirit of anger, he took that away from me and he gave me perfect peace. And in perfect peace, there's neither bravery or courage. You're just being yourself. You're just being. And so it's from God, to be honest with you. And that's why I encourage people to overcome the spirit of anger, because when you do overcome that, all these other demons will start to fall away. Fear, worry, jealousy, strife, envy, all that stuff would disappear because God will change your old nature. And anyone that has anger, / resentment, whatever they want to call it, they are children of Satan. Anyone that has anger is a child of the devil, and they are separated from God. But when you overcome that anger by forgiving, everything starts to change for you.
Wow, that's amazing, because I did notice at times you will see people that you are interviewing start to go off the rails. And I always admire you just to stand firm and confident and not get away from your normal stance.
And it is not something that I try to do or not to do. It's just that I see no other way but that way, to just stay on the straight and narrow and let people act any kind of way they want to. Let them be themselves, because they're representing themselves. They're not representing me. That's who they are. You're seeing what's really inside of them. And you don't judge them. You understand that they can't help it. And that's the beauty of returning to perfect peace. You cannot judge anyone. You don't. You neither agree or disagree. You just live your life. It's amazing, Joseph. So stay with it, man. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
Yeah, I just want to make one other point, too. Do you feel like because you speak the truth in Christ, that hate is brought to your feet?
Well, I do know that those who are not seeking what's right, those who are not loving the truth, they will come to hate. But they don't hate. In their mind, they think they hate me, but they're really hating the truth. And it's not even them, but it's the spirit of evil inside of them that's hating the truth. It has nothing to do with me at all.
Yeah, because I often wondered, I've heard before that if you're in Christ, that the world will hate you, and they'll hate you because you speak for good, and you speak for the goodness of Jesus, and then the world will hate you for that reason.
Yeah, they hate it, but they're not hating you. They think they're hating you, but they're really the spirit of, and I'm repeating myself, but the spirit of evil inside of them hate the spirit of good inside of you. They're hating God.
Yeah, that's great, Jesse. I really appreciate you, man. And you're an asset to your community and to your people. And I think sometimes people see you in a way where at first I didn't understand the points you were making, because it's fairly blunt, the points that you make, but within the framework of all that is the truth.
Thank you, Joseph, and stay with it. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day, Jesse.
You too, buddy. 888-775-3773. Before I go back to the phone, the blacks are still at it. It's a mess. And it's the spirit of evil. It's the spirit of their mothers, which is the spirit of evil. It's not the mother per se, but it's the hell that's in the mother that they are passed on to the children. Here's a video of a black man in Cincinnati asking Vivek Swamathama, Wami Swami. That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Wami Swami. Why our country sweeps under the table the past wrong committed against quote unquote African Americans. Why is this from X?
Well, look over the 400 years of all the violence that was perpetrated on our people. But yet, it's not over with. No, it's not over with. That's the thing.
That's okay.
When it comes down to the black Negroes, you want to sweep our history under the table.
Do I think we should sweep the parts of our history that make us uncomfortable under the rug? No, just as I don't think we should sweep last week's history under the rug. No, we have to confront what is true, not just when it makes us uncomfortable, but precisely when it does not. But the question is how we move forward.
This country has never been perfect for our people. I acknowledge the pain. This is why we chose this location here by the Ohio River, where our people came over that river for freedom.
Amazing, huh? That's so sad that it's not even funny, but it is kind of funny because hate cracking up over there. But that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous conversation. Our people and the Ohio River, and you're sweeping our under the table what the country done to our people. That's so dumb. These people are asleep. That's a unnecessary conversation. Really. It's so unnecessary. What's our history? And who are the our that they're talking about? That is a sign of being asleep. They have forgive them. They know not what they do. While here's a video of a black male starting an altercation with an employee in an emergency room. Watch this.
I'm
outside.
What
you want?
You tripping.
What you saying?
And you about to get discharged.
I said,
outside.
You can't talk to my staff,
outside.
Doc. You come here all the time, you're f***ing high. You talk to people, Doc. I don't give a f*** to you, Doc. I swear to God.
That's it? What happened?
A glitch. That's a glitch in the clip.
Well, man, in the hospital, emergency room. you think that's bad. Here's a video of a mother at her son's 8th grade graduation who apparently lost patience waiting for his son. I mean, waiting for his name.
What? No, that one's corrupt.
What?
That clip is corrupt. The clip is bad.
Derek, give us all these corrupt. Something happened. Derek must be working for the blacks.
No, something happened.
Derek said for me to give it a moment and for me to take a call. Let me go to Tony out of California. Tony, you are on the air.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you today, brother?
All is well, Tony.
Yeah, I have a situation. I wanted my country back. The thing is, I observe that Donald Trump on the D.C. situation.
Tony, wait a minute. Let me ask you something first. What do you think about, and you're black, right?
I'm a human being, sir.
Are you a black one?
No, I'm a human being.
Are you a black?
I don't identify.
Tony, I'm going to have to let you go then, all right?
No, wait a minute, Jesse. You know,
I'm trying to communicate with you.
Okay.
I'm trying
to satisfy you. Go ahead, You know I'm black. I've been talking to you for 20 years now. Come on.
So you're black. What do you think about black people and their violent, angry attitude and the crime in the inner cities where most of the cities now are governed by black people, and the crime is just crazy, black-on-black crime. Is that good or evil?
Well, to be honest with you, Jesse, it's no different than Chinese on Chinese, and no different than Japanese on Japanese, and no different than white on white.
Is it good or evil?
Evil is evil.
Is that with
evil
the blacks?
Is evil.
With the blacks. Is it good or evil?
I don't judge people, Jesse. I don't judge people because
yes,
you want
you
me
do.
To
you judge white people all the time.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
no,
you're about to judge Donald Trump right now. But let me
I'm
ask.
I'm not judging Donald.
Let me ask Tony. Tony, is it good or evil, the black-on-black mess? And now they're joining to white people and everyone. Is that good or evil?
Where did they learn this from?
Is that good or evil?
Where did it could
I'm
be good.
I'm going to ask you one more time, Tony.
I'm saying that it could. And yes,
is it
it's
good or evil?
Sending the message. It's good because you're sending the message.
So the black crime, the black violence is good because it's sending a message?
Yes.
What type of, message is it sending?
Because I'm glad you asked that, Justin. I'm so glad you asked that. And give me a chance to explain it before you interrupt and so people can see the real picture, okay? When you send a message on crime, like saying that January 6th, I take that back. That wasn't black on black. That was white on white. But the thing is, black on black sometimes send a message on rioting. People can understand they are riot, having a riot.
They're having a riot? You're saying that black-on-black anger and violence against themselves and other people, white people, you're saying that's a good thing because they're sending a message?
Yes.
And what's the message that they're sending?
The message is that they are tired of being oppressed. They are tired of not having jobs. They're tired of not having the same conditions as the Europeans in this country. If you want to look at it right
that
now.
Condition?
Wait a minute, Jesse. Let me talk, Jesse. I'm going to explain it to you. Don't interrupt me. I'm going to explain it to you so your viewers can understand exactly what I'm saying to you.
Go ahead.
Right now, don't interrupt, Jesse. Listen. Right now, we are having violence on people of color by the government of your great white hope, because he's not sending back no white Europeans that's immigrant or illegal aliens here in this country. He's sending people of color back.
What white people that are here illegally?
Russians.
Where are they?
People, people. What? Look at Chicago. They're all over. They're all over America.
And they're illegal aliens.
All over America.
They're illegal aliens.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
And
yes,
so.
They are.
And so.
People from.
And so you're saying that the black violence and the black anger that they are imposing on each other, and they are imposing their violence upon white people is because they're not sending Irish back to their country.
Wait a minute, Jesse. You confused me. Say that again. You confused. You messed
you're
it all up.
You said because they're not sending white people back to their country? That's why the blacks are so violent?
They are not sending white people back.
That's why the blacks are so violent?
No, it's not that they're so violent. They was taught this by the Europeans. Come on now. I know that. So, I knew that tickle your soul.
So the black was taught to be violent toward each other and toward white people.
Yeah.
But so if that's true, why don't we see that with white people?
We do see that with white people. I just gave you an example yesterday when a man from Montana.
No, not just one example, but why don't we see it?
Why don't we see it
being out of control like we see it with the blacks? If the white people taught blacks to be violent, Why are there less incidents of violence in white people than there are in blacks?
Because white media don't want to expose their own kind.
They will suppose that before they would the black. But let me change this. Hold on, Tony. Let me change this.
Okay. Don't hang up
told
to that.
Tony, I've been told that Irish illegals just got deported last week. Reportedly.
How many? Two people.
It doesn't matter. They got deported.
What
do you got to say about that?
It does matter, bro. Numbers count.
What do you got to say about that? How about that?
Okay. Jesse, two people.
How about that? You don't know how many. You're saying two. Nobody. You don't know if it's two or not.
Come on, Jesse. Keep it real, Jesse.
You didn't even know about it. How do you know the numbers?
But let me ask you this, Jesse.
How did you know the numbers and you don't even know about it?
Okay, the thing is, Jesse,
how you come up with two?
I'm asking you.
Tony, how did you come up with two?
I don't know the numbers. I'm asking you.
No, you said two.
Well, look, Jesse, can I speak on what I called you for?
Yeah, let me just say this.
Okay, go ahead and say that. Then I'm going to tell you what I have to say.
According to Breitbart, 50 Irish illegals were sent back. 50. So let me ask you this. So you're saying on the radio here that the reason black people are so violent toward each other and toward white people is because the white people taught them to be that way, right? And you saying that that's a good thing that the blacks are violent and toward themselves and others. You saying that's a good thing? Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
So why do you call evil good?
Because for what I see here in America, January 6th.
Tony, why do you call evil good?
I'm trying to explain it to you, Jesse. I'm trying to explain it to you. You can see here in America that January 6th was a good thing because Donald Trump, for those who got arrested, Donald Trump put them back on the street. Now Donald Trump talking about he's going to protect Washington, but he didn't protect Washington in January 6th.
Tony, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Let me explain it, Jesse.
Tell me why you call good evil good.
I'm trying to explain.
No, you're trying to talk about some men, Donald Trump. It had nothing to do with all that. But
yes,
one last time, why do you call evil good?
Because it's here in America, everything is going on today. To this day, it's evil.
Why do you call evil
good? And you praising it every day, what's going on in America.
Thank you, Tony. 888-775-3773. 888-77. Tony had no... You can't have no conversation with Tony. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He doesn't even know how to carry a conversation. What's up? Super chat.
Super chat.
Super.
Super chats.
Danny bought a coffee. All right, Jesse and the lads, can we all take a moment to appreciate the man that is Donald Trump? I'm flabbergasted by him. Incredible.
What manner of man is this? The wind and sea obeys him. They call him king. They have king rally in honor of Donald Trump.
What a great man.
They even call him dad.
Around the world.
Around the world. Thank you.
Mike Young says, bless Tony's heart, Jesse. He needs Jesus.
That's for sure. Tony, he doesn't even know how to have a conversation. He called evil good.
Indeed he does.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, man. And he black. What the?
Might be kookier than Maze.
No, I thought they were about the same, but Maze way. There's no comparison except for the talk. Thank you.
T. Smith for coffee on Cash App.
Thank you, T. Smith.
Over on gab.com, answering your biblical question, Jay Rackham says, facts are objective. Truths are subjective. That is why some people's beliefs, their truths, are just pure BS, bogus speech.
What's the difference between the facts and the truth? Amazing. Thank you.
And Muhammad says, Jesse, I love you. Am a Muslim Iraqi, Allahu Akbar people, as you like to say. You've changed me for the better. Your interview with Steve Lee, so profound, deep, emotional, underneath the comedy of it. I watch you for a few years now. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're welcome. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Oh, amazing. Thank you.
And on threads.net, Martin Luther 761 says, so-called facts are often lies.
Responding to the biblical question.
Yep.
Thank you. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday.
Danny, another coffee. All right, Jesse and the lads. Jesse, James, is ignorance an excuse? And Jesse, I love your impression of Tony. It cracks me up.
Jesse, why are the white people? Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Gregatron says, this call is being recorded. What the? Jesse, you got feds listening to you? The FBI? CIA? What's going on, Jesse? I want my country back. LOL.
I'm like, what the? Amazing. Thank you.
Mike Young. Hey, Chad. Love your channel and content. Chad O. Jackson, that is, the guest last hour. What are your thoughts on Trump's second term so far? Where are your agreements and disagreements? Couldn't get to that, Mike Young. My bag.
What?
He had a question for Chad O. Jackson on Trump's second term so far.
Oh, okay. I know. I have so many more questions for Chad, but we'll have him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric wanna ask, God exists beyond space and time. Since God was before time and after time, God exists. If God created you, he loves you without change? Question mark.
I don't understand the question.
I don't know either.
I don't understand that question. You can either call me at 888-775-3773, or you can make your super chat a little clearer, because right now I don't understand that question at all. Thank you, though.
Someone bought a coffee. Hey, guys, still waiting to hear about a way to call the show from the UK. Quick funny moment for you. My not-even two-year-old son shouted, what the, at the first two black people he saw over here in the shop. Amazing.
Nice.
Blessings from across the pond. Love you all. Never stop.
So his son saw some blacks and he went, what the?
He's not even 2 years old.
It reminded me of Hank and his friends used to go to the mall, and when they saw blacks, they would say, guilty.
Guilty. Guilty.
Let me take a quick break. Thank you. When I come back, we'll back to the calls and more of that. Back in a moment. Other than sex, I wonder why would a man even need a woman today? Women don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean. They're in competition with men. They don't want to be wives and mothers. Some want to get married, but they don't want to live in that proper position of life. Because the only purpose of marriage is to have a family. And that's been known forever. And so if you don't want to have children, there is no need to get married. And so I was wondering, why would a man even get married today? I never thought I'd see the day when women would be come out of her natural role and be like a man. Even though she hate that role, when she was with a man that's weak, she hate him. But if he try to be strong, she'll stop it. I never imagined that. You're seeing good destroyed and abnormal is presented as normal. Okay, the Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. The Hake, H-A-K-E Report.com from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific Time. And after the Hake Report, oh no, no American Anchor Baby. Right now, he's on hiatus for now. And he's coming back with a bang. So I know he made a little video promoting that, right, Nick? And so he'll be back. Flying high, not off fentanyl, but off natural energy from God. All right? I want to quickly play that video before I go back to the callers. Here's a video of black male starting an altercation with an employee in an emergency room. Watch this from X.
Outside.
What the
you want?
Right,
you tripping.
What you saying?
And you about to get discharged.
I said,
outside.
You can't talk to the staff, doc.
Outside.
You come here all the time, you're high. You talk to people, doc. I don't give a to you, doc. I swear to God. I train for this every day. Get the out of here. You will not.
Hey, I need you to step outside.
You're going to get arrested, dog.
I need you to step outside.
You're going
to
get arrested, dude.
Say something else.
I need you to step outside.
Say something else.
The blacks fighting in the emergency room, and Tony from California called that good. Isn't that amazing? Who fight in the emergency room? I thought it was bad enough when the blacks were fighting on the cruise, when they go out on cruise. And then they start fighting at the park. And then they were fighting at the parties. And then they were fighting, walking down the road, at the beaches, everywhere. And Tony said, that's good. Here's a video of a mother at her son's eighth grade graduation, who apparently lost patience, waited for him, waited for his name to be called. Watch this from X.
I don't care. I ain't got to see you a day in my life.
Yes, Mom.
I ain't hear no name. Oh, all right, bet. Oh, all right. Yeah. I am.
Kyrie Abney.
Okay. 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 Kyrie. Where are you?
Wow. It's a mess being black, huh? Blacks have no manners at all. Zero. And they call that black excellence. And the white people sitting in the eye are just, they scared to look up at her. They silent in the audience because they're afraid to look at her. And she's carrying on. This is happening all over the country with the blacks. And there are many worse things that has happened in my country, in my city, L.A., but it gone beyond now. And there's no return. And I tried to tell the voters, do not vote for black people to run your country. You heard Chad said Protestant white people made it possible. They're the one that have kept this country going. My city voted for possibly the worst person ever for a mayor of a city. And I've debated this female before. She has no common sense at all. Zero common sense. She has no idea how to run her own life, not to speak of how to run a city. Run it into the ground, if anything. This is from RNC Research. Los Angeles mayor, so-called mayor, and I put that in a quotation, Karen Bass, bragged about impeding federal law enforcement by promoting a rapid response network that alerts illegal aliens of ICE. Watch this from MSNBC.
You talked also about the protests being important. What do you think people can do that would matter? Can local officials establish any sort of limiting factor? What do you think is the most valuable pushback against things like this for people who object to it?
Well, I can tell you when they were doing the random snatching or kidnappings of people off of our streets, when people gathered, they backed away on many occasions. And so in Los Angeles, we have a rapid response network where everybody is alerted. If you see masked men getting out of unmarked cars, let everybody in the area know.
This is a so-called mayor. This is a socialist. This is what the type of person that... Jackson was talking about, Chad was talking about. This is a socialist. This female, Karen Bass, crime is through the roof here, folks. People robbing people home. In some cases, why do people home? In bed. Karen Bass is helping illegals, but not the citizens of this country, of this city. Think about that. And she seemed proud of it, too. She's helping lawbreakers to get away with breaking the law and doing nothing about the innocent citizens here. And you voted for her to run your town. Now do you believe me when I tell you that blacks cannot run anything? They only destroy? Do you believe it now? Do you believe it now? What more proof do you need? You put these people in charge of your town, your police department, your hospitals, your schools. This is what you get. They destroy it. They don't know how. It's not in their nature. It's not in their mindset to make it better, to improve upon what's already there. They can only make it worse. And you vote for them. You get what you deserve. You can't blame anybody. You're getting what you deserve. This is what you put out there. This is what you get. And white people, it's time to come home. It's time to stop being afraid. You're letting these people destroy the greatest country at one point on this side of heaven by white people, the country that God gave you. You're sitting back in fear, letting them just destroy it because you're afraid of being called a name. And that makes sense to you, right? Where will you go? To the moon? Where are you going from here? Karen Bass is a loser. These females that are black females and white, any female really, running these cities, and they have no idea what they're doing. zero. And those females that are working with Donald Trump, they are only doing what they're doing because they have a man leading them. That's the only reason they're able to carry out their jobs, because they have a man. If they had a man leading them, they had a female over there, it'd be a mess. It'll be a mess. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. Nothing else gonna work but that. The men need Christ to guide them. The ladies need the men to guide them. Ladies, but you don't have to wait for that. You can go crazy to God yourself, and he will guide you. All right? Just FYI. Nick is out of Kentucky. Let's see here. Nick, you're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Jesse, how you doing?
All is well, Nick. Speak up a little bit.
Hello?
Okay.
Is better?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So, so I've been watching the show for a minute, and I know it's like, it's true what you be saying and stuff like that. I'm curious about, like, how can I, I'm gonna just talk. So, like, my aunt, she's like your age, she like old. I mean, I ain't calling you old, I'm just saying she's like.
You just call me old.
I'm sorry. but she
my
like.
Aunt, she just old.
But I meant like she from your generation, meaning like.
Right.
But she came up on, like, the civil rights and the she real Democrat, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. She, like, Martin Luther King, Obama, you know, stuff like that. And I'm watching your show, I've been watching you for a minute, and I know what you're saying is true. So we had to talk. And then we was like, obviously we going at it, because she telling me, you know how they be anti-Trump and stuff like that. And I'm saying, it ain't even really about, I'm kind of on the same thing with Chad, because I hear it and I know that it's real.
Yeah.
Long story short, we had she got mad at me, kind of, I just want to know how, not that I really care if she feel, really anybody anyway, not that I really care what they think about me, because I know it's true.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to know, is it better for me to try to speak that, or is it better for me to just, you know, like, hold my tongue? Or should I be like, okay, like, yeah, like if somebody bring up something about abortion or they gay or whatever, like should I like try to tell them, and then like see if they receive it, and then if they don't receive it back off, like I don't know how to go about it without getting, you know what I'm saying?
I do. If they don't want to hear, let's say you get in a conversation about Trump or Martin Luther King or the civil rights, what abortion, gay stuff. If people don't want to hear, don't argue with them. They have a right to be wrong. And don't try to prove anything. Don't argue with the devil, because when you argue with people like that, you're arguing with the devil. And the devil doesn't want to know the truth. They just want a thrill. And so once you see that they're getting mad or they don't want to hear, just say, oh, okay, no problem, and drop it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing.
Good. That's what God does with the truth. The truth only presents itself to those who invite it in. So if these people are not asking you for what's going on, then don't tell them. Let them suffer. Leave them in their hell. That's where they want to be. So don't feel bad for them. Don't feel anything. And just go your way.
Okay. Cool. So I got something for what you just said. So, like, when they come to me, that's a female friend, and they be going through stuff. I got this one female friend, she's Muslim. So, like, but she be telling me about, like, how, like, her problems. So, when she come to me, and I try to lead her to, you know, I try to tell her what, because I'm just telling her what I did. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do the silent prayer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I had to forgive my mama and stuff like that. So when I tell her all that, that's okay. Cause I'm telling, cause she, you know, she asking me,
yes.
And I'm telling her, okay, so that, okay, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Perfect. Christ said when he healed people, tell no one. But if someone asks, then you point them back to Christ. But even then, when you tell them and they don't, let's say this young lady you're dealing with, let's say she, you tell her what to do. Hey, you got to forgive. You got to drop your anger. Forgive your parents and all that. And let's say you tell her to do that. She doesn't do it. And she comes to you again talking about her problem.
Right.
After a while, you just say, you know what? I have no more to say about it. Suffer and die. Because she can be getting the thrill of just talking to you and everybody else about the problems and doesn't want to solve the problem because she gets the thrill of just talking about it, trying to make people feel bad for her or, you know, to make herself look a certain way. So don't keep telling them if they're not accepting it and doing something about it.
Facts. Okay, I figured it. All right, I got one last.
Because she will come to you every time you see her. Oh, my mama still did this, and my daddy did this, and my boyfriend did this, and my this. And it's just a thrill talking about it.
Yeah, that's drama. I don't like drama.
Yeah.
You see me? Yeah, so, like, okay, well, I guess, like, okay, I got two more then, if I can say it. Mm-hmm. So, like, with God, okay, so, like, I got some male friends, right? They like to gossip. I don't like gossip.
Yeah.
So, like, I let them talk about it, but I don't really hold on to it because I don't want to, like, I don't want to, like.
Telling them I don't want to hear this. I don't want to be a part of it. And then they insist you walk away.
Okay.
Because that's right, evil. Cool. Don't listen to evil, man. Evil's still trying to pull you back into it. And when they're doing that, they're showing evil. They're not showing love.
I be feeling that. I be feeling like, because when I hear it, I be like, okay. Like, I kind of understand the I guess the flesh part of it. Like, oh, because, like, I guess sometimes it feel quote unquote good to complain. And I'm like, okay, I'll hear you out. But you saying don't
listen to evil inside your head or inside of other people.
Word. Okay.
They're just trying to pull you in. And it's not them, but it's the spirit of evil that made a home in them. And they're trying to pull you in because evil knows that you are getting away from it. And the people may not understand it because they're not paying attention to themselves. But don't fall for it. Don't go with it. Resist evil.
All right. Okay.
And don't be afraid to just tell them, I don't want to be a part of your gossiping. I don't want to hear. Don't try to be nice. Oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'm not going to tell them that.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, don't do that. Just say, I don't want to be a part of your gossiping. That's evil.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I gotta get stronger in that part. Like, that nice stuff. I gotta kill that.
You said what now?
I said I gotta get stronger in that area. Like that nice stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of okay with it, but, like, no, I just need to work on that more.
Yeah, you work on it by being aware. When they're doing that, there's something in you like, don't hurt their feelings or don't embarrass them. Go along with it. So just, no, don't do that. You just say, hey, I don't want to hear it. They're not considering you at all. They're gossiping. They don't care how you feel about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you are your own world. No one can interfere with your world if you don't let them.
All right.
Amazing.
Okay. It is amazing. All right. My last thing, right? So I was on and then that's another thing with the straight and narrow path. Like, I don't want to say I'm on it because then I feel like I'm teetering. But I want to say that I was doing, like, good. Like, I was, but it was real, like, solitude because I felt like nobody could really, like, understand what I was saying.
Right.
So I just kept to myself for a good little year. I'm still doing that because, like, it's almost like you can't go back. It's weird.
Right.
But, like, I'm still doing that. But stuff happened, and I noticed that you say it's going to get worse and worse. And I see it. Like, it's like the Christian walk. It's like you go up and you go down and you go up and you go down. And it's weird. Like, I was drinking a lot and stuff. Even though I'm still like trying to do right, like I noticed myself like falling, and then like you know what I'm saying. So it was just, I don't know, it was crazy, but like I don't know why I brought that up actually. I think I was just being, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I guess I'm asking, is that like I feel like it's normal, Like, what do you do when you know you, like, when you know you not, or what, well, you might be judging yourself, but, like, what do you do when you, like, you know, you feel like you not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got the past, right? So in the past, I know you say don't be listening to thoughts, but in the past, you know you was doing better than what you was doing presently, because you might indulge in things that ain't right, right? So what do you do when you know you, like, dipping? I guess is what I'm trying to add on.
Just come back to consciousness. That's all. You're unconscious. So just become aware, because you just went into thoughts again, and it brought back those emotions, and you let them control you. Just come back to awareness. Come back to present. Be aware of yourself, and you're fine. All you did was just went unconscious for a while.
Okay.
But don't judge it. Don't say, oh, I'm bad. Poor me. Oh, I can't believe I did. Because there is no you to say that about. So don't take on another false identity by saying, I can't believe I did that. You didn't do it. You haven't done anything wrong ever in your whole life. It's impossible for us to do wrong.
Okay, wait. So if you do something, let's say I go to the smoke shop and I get a vape.
Right.
Like, if I do that, I just let it happen. Do I just keep smoking a vape? Do I throw the vape away? What do I do? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's
say
you go and you get it. You shouldn't. But let's say you go and you do it. And you find yourself doing it. Just realize you are, but don't judge it. The realization of it will take away the hunger for it. But if you try to stop it yourself, it's only a temporary stop. You got to find yourself doing it again. But again, try not to do it. Avoid it when the temptation comes. Don't just go for it. But if you find yourself doing it, the awareness is of you vaping. Be aware. Don't get all into your vaping. You feel so good, you forget to be aware. Be aware of yourself vaping, but don't have an opinion about it. And the awareness, which is the nature of God, will work on your behalf, because you can't do anything about it. You just need to be aware of it.
Yeah. I noticed that we're not to get nasty, but I noticed that we're like lust and stuff. Like, I would, at first, before I did like the prayer and stuff, I would say while I was doing the prayer, like, I would try, like, I wouldn't even look at women when I went to work. I wouldn't even look at women. I would, like, just, you know, turn my head, and all it did was fester up inside. You know what I'm saying? Like, all it did was make me, so I know that you can't do nothing about it yourself. It's just when you, it's the, okay, realize it. Okay, I got you. Realization.
Yeah, so when you look at a woman and you be aware of what's happening on the inside of you, you're looking at this woman and you're inside, this other stuff is going on. But it's the light of God that would change that, when you can see what's going on inside of you, whether you're lusting after the woman or whatever. But don't call it you. It will be taken away.
Yes, sir. Okay. I appreciate it.
Stay with it, all right?
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
God bless.
You too. Thank you. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chat.
Anthony says, facts change, truth does not.
Thank you.
EQ response, I guess.
I'll put my two cents in on Sunday.
If not now, when?
I got to take when I come back. Hate coming in with the hate news, not the fake news. I'll be back in a moment. We haven't done it.
Good. Right? Every bag is roasted to order.
Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to rebuildingtheman.com. RebuildingTheMan.com/stores and get Punchy's coffee.
It's some serious mess going on in the world with the DC police takeover. That is not mess, but there's a lot of mess being talked about by these messy people, these black mayors. Oh my goodness. The Baltimore mayor's like, I notice Trump is always talking about these black mayored cities. Well, actually, crime is at a 50-year low in Baltimore. So is the population, because they all got killed or run out of the city. But anyway, mess with the Ukraine and Russia drama. Trump talking to Zelensky today over Zoom. Nice. And he's going to Alaska on Friday to meet up with Putin. Did you know Putin gave us Alaska? Or Russia did? They sold it to us, right? To America? That's what I heard. And speaking of Alaska, there's a glacier up in Juneau, threatening Juneau, Alaska. Water's gushing out of it, threatening a major flood. That's what CNN says. I don't know. That's pretty crazy. And by the way, be afraid, because China virus is on the rise. Cases going up. Nice. So watch out. And nice. That's about it. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is the first Hake News segment of the day. No Hake News in the first hour, because we went long with Chad O. Jackson. Chad O. Jackson. What a Chad. Not great interview for Men's History Month about MLK. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, do catch the HakeReport.com. Be aware that American Anchor, baby, he still exists. He is still with us. But he is on hiatus, okay? A brief hiatus. I'm calling it brief. Brief in God's eyes, right? 1,000 years are like a second to God. So do stay tuned and keep your ear to the railroad tie for the Anchor Baby train to be coming in. Or keep your ear to the tarmac, because the Anchor Baby plane may be coming in soon, okay, but he is on hiatus. That means break. He's on a, but not a break from working, just a break from his problems. Nice. Anyway, Comedy Nonsense Network, CNN reports, armored personnel carriers parked next to the Washington Monument, and Border Patrol and ICE agents guarding Union Station in D.C. D.C. National Guard troops posted near the mall, FBI and DEA agents, the mall being like a grassy area, not like a shopping mall, I think. Right? Something like that? FBI and DEA agents patrolling the city's streets. Our greatest president, Trump, was able to do all of this under the Home Rule Act of 1973, taking temporary federal control of the District of Columbia, also known as D.C. police, if he determines that special circumstances of an emergency nature exist and the crime in America, especially in these black areas and black run areas, going back 50, 60, 70 years since it started to increase in the 50s and really rapidly doubled in the 60s, by the way. And then it continued to increase 70s, 80s, even into the 90s. And it went down a bit because we got tough on crime. And then it started going back up. Thanks, Obama. So Trump recognizes the emergency and he loves the people. And he wants America to be great again. On Tuesday, D.C. black female so-called Mayor Muriel Bowser described Trump's efforts as an authoritarian push. They need some authority. And issued a warning to other cities. If he can get away with this in Los Angeles, if he can get away with this in D.C., he can get away with it in New York or Baltimore or Chicago, or any other place where millions of people live, work, and are doing everything the right way, she said. The daughter of Satan herself, right? And meanwhile, in the Ukraine, Russia appears to be making an 11th-hour dash to grab as much Ukrainian territory as possible before the summit between Trump and Putin come Alaska time on Friday. So Zelensky said Moscow is trying to create the distorted perception that Russia's moving forward, advancing, and Ukraine is losing. And so we'll see what happens. They're going to meet over Zoom, or maybe they already have today. So they have selected a location for Trump to meet with Putin in Alaska on Friday. So fun. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour three. Hour three.
had to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the racists with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. Can you believe it? If you missed that first hour today, any of the hours really, but especially today, with Chad O'Jackson, you got to make sure you podcast that. You will not be disappointed at all. Not at all. You won't be disappointed. You can get involved now by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. And my biblical question, what's the difference between the facts and the truth? What's the difference between the facts and the truth? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, running around, doing whatever it is you're doing anywhere in the world, because we are on 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., heard around the world by everybody and their mama, you can be listening to the show, you can podcast, but no matter what you're doing, you can be listening on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Cash App. It's the last hour of the show on a Wednesday. And every Wednesday, last hour of the show is Manhood Hour. What is a man? What is a man? Man.
It's an adult man. Human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta. Beta male. A man is a male who turned to man. Alpha male. Live right, be right, and lead the way.
Imagine thousands of men in red dresses chugging beer and calling it a workout.
Funny story, Kent. It's the end of the world!
This is the red dress run, where the only thing tighter than the dresses is the beer budget.
Accentuates all the curves.
Very flat, right?
Oh, it's definitely the end times.
If you're wondering what peak athleticism looks like, this is it. Lace, leg hair, and a whole lot of beer.
This city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor.
The Anchorman put that together. That is so amazing. Wow. Can you imagine those men putting on red dresses and talking about how they fit and the way they act? They act just like women in women's clothes. You know, that's that feminine spirit inside the male. That's why you must be born again. You got to overcome mama. And it's so easy. Really, it's mind-blowing to me how easy it is to encourage men to act like women, but not for women to act like men. It is crazy how easy it is. The men don't even put up a fight. They put on a red dress. They go marching down the street in a red dress and red high heels and acting like women. And our whole country has been feminized like that. And if you notice, the more you put the women in charge, the more feminine the men become. And the world is destroyed. The family is destroyed. Put the woman in charge. It's not in her nature. That's why it doesn't work, folks. It's not going to work. It ain't going to work. Never going to work. Work, work, work. I got a Happy Men's History Month. Before I go back to the phones here, I need to have a man history moment. Just a men's history moment. This is August. And this is from Forgotten History. My man history moment. Men's history moment. Carlos Norman Hathcart II. And he was a United States Marine Corps sniper with a service record of 93 confirmed kills. Hathcart recorded. Hold on a minute. Let me bring my light back on my computer here. Hathcart record and extraordinary details of the mission he undertook made him a legend in the U.S. Marine Corps. Hathcart nickname, get this, his nickname was White Feathers. Was given to him by the North Vietnamese People Army of Vietnam. Watch this from Forgotten History. That's a lot. Watch this.
In Vietnam, there were a few men, Marines and Army, who became legends. One became so famous, even among the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong, Ho Chi Minh placed a bounty on his head. They even sent their top sniper, called the Cobra, to shoot Marines and lure the Marine sniper out to kill him. He was known as White Feather. Carlos Norman Hathcock was born on May 20, 1942, in Little Rock, Arkansas. He grew up in Wayne, Arkansas. He lived with his grandmother for 12 years of his life after his parents separated. Hathcock supported his extremely poor family by shooting and hunting at an early age with a .22 caliber J.C. Higgins single-shot rifle. He later graduated to using a Kar 98 German Mauser that his father had brought back from World War II. Hathcock joined the Marines on May 20, 1959, at the age of 17, and rapidly became a known quantity. He had won the matches at Camp Perry in 1965 and the Wimbledon Cup shooting championships. In 1966, Hathcock deployed to South Vietnam as a military policeman, but later became a sniper after Captain, later Major, Edward James Land wanted snipers in every infantry platoon. At that time, there was no formal sniper school in the Marine Corps, and snipers were designated according to a Marine's marksmanship record and field expertise. Land knew right away that Hathcock was a natural. The NVA and VC called Hathcock Long Trang, which means white feather, because of the white feather he kept in the band on his bush hat. After a platoon of Vietnamese snipers failed to kill him, many Marines in the same area donned white feathers to deceive the enemy and confuse them. Ho Chi Minh placed a bounty of $30,000 on Hathcock because he was so effective, and through a mishap, they learned his name. Generally, rewards put on U.S. snipers ranged from $8 to $2,000. Hathcock held the record for the highest bounty ever placed on a Marine, and he killed every Vietnamese sniper who came after him.
Amazing, huh? Now you see why we need white people back. They don't make them like that anymore. One of Hathcock's most remarkable sniper duo in history. Watch this.
In one of the most remarkable sniper versus sniper duels in history, Hathcock and his spotter, John Roland Burke, were stalking the enemy sniper, called the Cobra, in the jungle near Hill 55. This was a fire base southwest of Da Nang, where the Cobra had already killed several Marines, to lure Hathcock out to kill him. The stalking lasted for 2 days. Carlos said, "He was close to being as good as I was, but ain't no way. Ain't nobody that good." The Cobra fired at Hathcock as the Marine accidentally tripped over a decayed tree, forcing the shot to miss and hit his spotter's canteen. Then the Cobra took off running. Eventually, the two opposing teams worked their way around the entire area until they had completely exchanged positions. The Cobra was now facing the sun. When Hathcock saw a glint of light reflecting off the enemy sniper's scope in the bushes and fired at it, he shot through the scope, killing the sniper. That meant both men were looking at each other at the same time, but Hathcock was faster.
Amazing, huh? They don't make them like that anymore. Once in a while through history, men come along like that, i.e. the great white hope, Donald Trump. What the? Last but not least, Hathcock was injured in an explosion, which led him to retirement. And he was greatly honored. Watch this.
On September 16, 1969, Hathcock was riding on an LVTP-5 armored personnel carrier full of Marines when the APC rolled over an anti-tank mine. The explosion rocked the heavy vehicle and wounded all the Marines on board, and a fire broke out. Hathcock jumped off and ran to the rear and pulled seven Marines from the vehicle, which was an incinerator. Hathcock then collapsed, suffering first, second, and third degree burns to his face, arms, and legs, and his uniform was aflame. Hathcock had no idea how badly he had been burnt. While recovering, Hathcock received the Purple Heart. Nearly 30 years later, he received the Silver Star for this action, saving those Marines. Although Hathcock had 93 confirmed kills, he estimated that he had killed between 300 and 400 enemy personnel during the Vietnam War. Despite returning to active duty, Hathcock was in daily constant pain, but he continued teaching snipers. Hathcock's health began to deteriorate, and in 1975, he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Hathcock was honored by having a rifle named after him, the Springfield Armory M25 White Feather, due to his nickname. Carlos summed up his philosophy. Quote, "I like shooting, and I love hunting, but I never did enjoy killing anybody. It was my job. If I didn't get those bastards, then they were going to kill a lot of those kids dressed up like Marines. That's the way I looked at it." Carlos Hathcock, the legendary White Feather, died on February 22, 1999 in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and his legend still stands.
Why history moment. Amazing! May his soul rest in peace. Amazing, huh? They don't make them like that anymore, except for Donald Trump. Once in a while, someone comes along, a Christ-like person, and they stand out because they are not afraid to be themselves, to be an individual, to be whole, to be one. Is this manhood hour? What the? Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Bring back God's order of God in Christ, Christ over man, man over woman, woman over children. Nothing else is going to work but that, folks. You can try and do whatever you want to try to make it. Ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Just like when a man put a dress on and a woman put a man's suit on, it's still a man and it's still a woman. It ain't going to change nothing. It's not going to change. So it's up to you. You can come back to the truth, find your way back to the Father, or you can stay lost in the wilderness of your imagination, thoughts, and emotions. All thoughts and emotions are all wrong all the time for men and women. I was wondering, my producer gave me this story about a man being arrested in Florida from ABC News. A man was arrested, a Florida man who was arrested after his wife discovered he was married to two other women at the same time. This guy was back in court on Thursday for his sentences hearing after pleading guilty to bigamy. Watch this.
Florida man was thrown in jail after his wife discovered that he was married to two other women at the same time. He was back in court yesterday for his sentencing hearing after pleading guilty to bigamy, which is a felony.
Three Florida women from three different Florida counties all met Henry Betsy Jr. on dating websites and married him at county courthouses during a two-year period. Only one of his wives was willing to appear on camera.
I met him on Match.com.
He said all the right things.
He sold the perfect person when in reality he was none of those things. I just started county by county putting his name in, and that's when I came up with the marriage to Michelle and the marriage to Brandy.
The wives all blame the state of Florida for not cross-referencing marriage licenses between counties. Because Henry had no prior criminal convictions and his case in Virginia has not been resolved, the judge said he was limited under the law in what sentence he could impose.
I'm going to sentence him to 2 years of probation with 8 days credit for time served. He'll undergo a mental health evaluation. To complete a certified batterer's intervention program.
Betsy's former wives and their family and friends said they had hoped he would see jail time, but were glad to put a difficult chapter behind them.
Amazing. He told them what they wanted to hear. He told them what their egos wanted to hear. And so I've thought about this. Is it illegal to marry three women and be married at the same time? But it's not illegal to have three women in your home. If you have three wives without being married, that's not illegal. What the? Think about that. And I could be wrong. And I've interviewed guys who have more than one woman in their home with him. And then he called them wives. And they call him husband. But they're not, by the court, they're not married. That's not illegal. And last but not least, how would you like to be married to Halle Berry? I don't know. According to the report, she doesn't know how to cook. She doesn't clean. She does nothing. According to this report, Yahoo News, Halle Berry was married to David Justice from 1993 to 1997. And now, nearly three decades later, the former MLB player has given his take on their split. Watch this from X.
We never had any major issues like that. Mm-hmm. It's just that I, because I was young and had only been in, honestly, one real relationship before her. My knowledge and my understanding, my wisdom around relationships just wasn't vast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at my mom, and I'm a Midwest guy. So in my mind, I'm thinking a wife at that time should cook, clean,
traditional,
you know. And then I'm thinking, okay, if we have kids, you know, is this the woman I want to have kids with and build a family with? And at that time, as a young guy, she don't cook, don't clean, don't really seem like motherly. And then we start having issues.
Is that it? They cut it off right there like that? What the... All right, don't cook, don't clean, and then they start having other issues, apparently. Who want to marry a woman that doesn't know how to cook and clean? What a mess! They don't make them like that anymore, guys. These women do not know how to cook, they don't know how to clean, and they bring a whole bucket of problems. Why not men and women go back to the source? First, the greatest and the first rule, to love what's right with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself, and all will be added to you, and you can't go wrong. Andrew is out of Minnesota. Andrew, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Andrew.
Thanks for taking a call. Be white.
E-White.
Hey, I've called before, but so if I'm just watching my thoughts, when does the evil ever go away?
What do you mean by when does the evil go away?
Like, you know how, like, if I watch my thoughts and I can just see my anger, but I'm, like, observing it, but I'm just watching it, you know?
Uh-huh.
When does it ever go away?
Will you stop identifying with it? Will you stop calling it you?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I'm observing it, right?
Right.
And then it's passing by, but it seems like it would never go away.
When you say go away to where?
Oh, that's a good question. So, like, does it ever go away?
Go away to where?
Does it ever stop? Like, does evil ever stop?
Yes. If you stay with it, meaning stay aware of it. Do nothing about it. Don't call it you. Stop identifying with it, period. Eventually, all of them, because you have more than one demon inside your mind and emotions, all of them will be taken away. They have to leave. They have no other choice because the darkness cannot stay in the same place the light is.
Right. Okay, and I agree with that. I have another question.
And don't worry about, don't even think about when it's going to go away. It's taking too long. This is too difficult. All those thoughts are set up too. You be willing to endure to the end, meaning that you just be willing to be present and let the light, the spirit of truth, do its job for you.
Hmm. Okay. So what is evil?
Anyone that's playing God. Anyone that's... make decisions. Anyone that think that they know God. Anyone that has anger or resentment. Anyone that judges. Anger is the fallen nature of human beings.
Yeah. So can you... Okay, that's what anger is. But what is evil?
Evil is evil.
Yeah, but what is it?
I just told you what it was.
Okay,
I said that anyone that judges,
you said
anyone that plays God, anyone that think that they can repair themselves or others, anyone that has resentment, anyone that has ideas, anyone that identify with a false self.
Right. So those are all things that our people do. That's not what is evil.
That is what evil is. It is the nature of evil.
I think you're explaining things that people do, like actions, but what is
evil? So do you have like another answer or something?
Well, from what I can understand, if darkness cannot overcome the light, darkness is not an objective entity. It's the absence of light. So if thoughts are not real, then evil is not objectively real because it is an absence of something, meaning darkness is not a thing. It's not a objective entity. It is an absence of something. So from what I understand, what you're trying to tell me is like evil is it's the absence of light or knowledge. Or observation or consciousness. Or awareness.
Well, I don't know. You made it so complicated. I don't even know what you're talking about, to be honest.
Not really. I didn't really make it complicated.
So you understand what you said then?
Yeah, but I'm just trying to see if you're willing to say it. Like, because I don't understand. You know, people talk about good and evil as if they're two separate things. Like as if it's like a two separate, like a dialectic is what you might call it, or two separate entities. You know, Satan's an entity and God's an entity, and they're fighting together. When in reality, darkness is just an absence. It's not a thing. It's like if you take a cup and you fill it with water, it's full, right? But if you pour out half the glass of water.
You were asking me all the, about what was even, you already had all this going on in your head and you already thought you knew?
No, I'm saying.
No. I'm asking you a different question now. When you asked me, Jesse, what is evil, you already had all this stuff in your head, and your mind was running crazy with all that when I was telling you what it was?
No.
But you asked if evil ever gonna go away. Well, when will it go away? You already had all those ideas in your head when you asked that question?
Well, so this is what I'm trying to understand is
no, did you already have all those ideas in your head when you ask that question?
Yeah, I mean, I already had that understanding of what I believe evil to be.
And so before you asked, you already had the understanding of what you thought evil would be. That what you believe evil is?
Yeah, well,
so
I'm
what
saying,
made you ask the question then if you already thought you had the understanding?
Because I'm trying to see how you define evil.
But why are you trying to see that if you already have the understanding of it?
Because I'm trying to see what you're telling the world.
But like, why, if you already have the understanding of it, why? Why are you trying to see that?
Because I want to know what you're telling the world publicly.
Why?
Like, because there's a war in people's minds between good and evil, and people think that evil is this objective thing in the world. And so, okay, what I'm trying to tell you is if you watch your thoughts, right, if thoughts are not real.
So you're
okay,
worried
not,
about other people? That's what it is?
Okay, if thoughts are not real.
Are you worried about other people?
No, I mean, people have the freedom to, you know, believe lies if they want to.
So you said that you had all these other ideas in your head already made up, and you said you understood evil. And then you said you were trying to see what I'm telling other people about it. Are you worried about other people?
Well, I mean, I guess I could say that, yeah, I mean, whatever the
truth
is,
what
gives
you the right to worry about anybody? How can you worry about anyone?
I'm not worried in a sense that, like, I mean, I would be concerned for people's well-being.
Why?
You know, that.
Why? What gives you the right to be concerned about someone else's well-being?
Because I have empathy for people in the world. I see the world and people suffering.
So you have no love then?
What do you mean?
You have no love.
And how so?
Because love don't feel those things about anyone.
We mean seeing, like, people suffering and...
Yeah. Love don't feel those things at all. But thank you, Andrew. I got to take a break. The Treasure Chest is now open on DLive and Stretch Off on PO.net. Back in a moment. I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not started a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663. Okay, welcome back. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m., top of this hour, right after my show. The Hake Report. He is not afraid of the blacks. And he white with good hair. And no fear. Have no fear. No fear. And the Anchor Baby is on hiatus. Hiatus. What is it?
Hiatus.
Hiatus.
He's on sabbatical.
Sabbatical. Just a short period of time, he put in something together that will blow your mind. So get ready. Don't be disappointed. Take the break. He will be back, and he will be back with fire. Last time he came with water. This time he's coming with fire. The American Anchor Baby. So hold on.
Is that a biblical thing?
Huh?
Is that a biblical thing?
What?
Never mind. Coming with water, then coming with fire.
It's all biblical.
I was thinking it's a verse. Let's move on.
It is biblical.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Remember the first time around, it was with water. He destroyed the earth. And he'll be back with fire this time. Isn't that right, James?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Baptism by water and then baptism by fire.
That's right. Amazing. So the Anchor Baby will be back with by fire next time. He came the first time with water. Get ready. All right? Really, get ready. I'm not building it up just to make you want to watch it. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Brady is out of Arizona. Brady, you are on the air.
Yeah, eat some broso, Jesse. I was gonna
he said what?
Bring up you keep talking about a lot of the people that support Trump are calling him a king, and actually it's the people that like Antifa and the Democrat Party that's giving him that label.
Right.
So
they do call him king, right?
Yeah, the left are the demonic Democrats of
this
country.
Isn't that amazing that they call him the Great White Hope? They call him king. They call him daddy. They call him, what manner of man is this? The wind and sea obeys him. That's amazing, huh?
Absolutely marvelosa. And the thing is, it's kind of funny. He is now the king of the Israel, if you really look at it. Because
he's what now?
He's the king of Israel, Donald Trump. He's the resurrection of King David in the eyes of Bibi Netanyahu and the rest of the Jewish people.
He is the king of the whole wide world, man. Even people in other parts of the world obey him. So he's the king of the world.
I don't. He can call him whatever he wants. I'm glad that we just don't have that last.
Do you see
regime.
That he's the king of the world?
Yeah, you can call him that. That's fine.
Do you see it that way?
I don't see it that way. There's
Why
only
not?
One true king.
Why
There's
not?
Only one true king.
Why
There's
don't
only
you
one
see it that
king.
Way?
Because Donald Trump is just a man.
Why don't
he's
you see that
God.
He's the king of the world?
He's not the king of the world because he's just a man.
What there is only what one. What do you mean, just a man? What do you mean?
There's only one person that can be king, and his name is Jesus.
But Jesus didn't say he was king.
He was crowned king.
But he didn't say he was king.
Well, his father did.
Is that true or not?
Well, I think his father appointed him king of this world.
No, did Jesus say he was king?
I don't think he necessarily said he was king, no.
And did Donald Trump say he was king?
I don't think Donald Trump said he was king. He was being referred to.
And so did people call Jesus king?
Yes, they did call Jesus king.
And did people call Trump king?
Well, yes, he has.
I rest my case.
My point is
I rest my case.
Is he a true king, though, Jesse?
And Jesus wasn't a true king either, but he was called king.
I mean, you can call a lot of people.
Is that true or not?
Well, in a sense, he's labeled as the king.
And so was Jesus labeled as king?
Yes. There was many labels on Jesus. Well, what's the difference? Is it bad to have him labeled as king, even though he's not a king?
I didn't say it was bad. Was it bad to label Jesus as king, even though he was not king?
No.
So is it bad to label Donald Trump as king?
I don't think so.
Right on. I rest my case.
Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you, Brady. You made my point, man. Thank you.
Right on.
All right, bud. Amazing. And they call him king. Let me go to Canada and talk to Matthew. Matthew, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse. How you doing?
All is well.
Yeah, so I had a question. I'm a piano player.
Uh-huh.
I started playing piano in the streets and people recognize me. And I want to make more money doing it because it's a hit or miss when you're busking on the streets. And so I was going to take my own money and rent out a theater and try to get people to come to there and pay to come watch me there. But I was just wondering if that's me just trying to get a thrill, because I'm just trying to do it for money.
I mean, if you're doing it to enhance your business and you do it let's say you rent out your first one, but you rent out a small one that doesn't cost too much. And then when that take off, you rent out a bigger one that bring in more people. And one thing will lead to another, because you're talking about your business, and that's your talent. That's how you earn a living on earth.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was just scared because if I don't sell it enough tickets, I'm going to be out close to $500.
But
if I do sell enough, I'm going to profit.
You're making a big mistake right now.
What do you mean?
You're doing an if. Never, ever, 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 but never, 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 ever, never do an if. If is a mindset of a double-minded person, and a double-minded person is unstable in all of his or her ways. If you're going to do this thing, do it and have a wait and see. Do not have an if.
Right. So I was messing up the whole time. It's probably still not too late. I can just do it because I have the money for it.
As long as you don't do an if, have a wait and see. You know, you go and rent the space if that's what you want to do for your business. You go and rent it, and then you put the word out that you have this event coming up. Have a wait and see how it goes, how it turns out. Don't do it if it doesn't do this, and then if it does do this, if it doesn't, that's a double-minded person. You want to be single-minded. You don't want to be double-minded.
Yeah, I really want to do it. I've always wanted to do it.
Well, then do it without, if it doesn't go this way, I'm going to lose $500. If it does go that way, I'm going to win $500. You're double-minded. Stop being double-minded.
Yeah, I screwed up my life doing that.
Yeah. all human beings do it. That's one of the problems of human nature. They always do ifs.
So,
and a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways.
100%. And I've been sticking with the silent prayers, so I'm doing that at the same time, but I haven't overcome yet. So I was just double-checking with you, and I guess that's what I needed to hear.
Right on. I wish you well. Let me know how it goes.
Just regarding the details, I shouldn't worry about that either. Just do what I know is best.
I mean, if you mean the detail, like I need to find a place that I can rent. I don't want it to be too big or too small. Those are the details.
The timing of it, like a month later, book it out 2 months later so I can advertise it properly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, be patient with it and do it the right way. But don't do ifs.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear.
All right, buddy. I wish you well.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too. Amazing. Super chat.
Super chat.
Over on Cash App, Anthony says, if not now, when will Maxine take the wig off?
If not now, when, Lord?
No thanks.
Amazing. Thank you.
Uncle Ruckus, is Israel Jesus or a country? According to the word, if Jesus is in Jesse, then does that make California Israel? They're building a new temple because they lack Jesus. Pay attention because the world is deceiving, says he.
Amazing. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ken, Chad on the fallen state? Chad O. Jackson. Was on the fallen state once.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's been on this show several times. So.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Thank you.
Gregatron says, I want Chad O. Jackson to be Bill Lockwood's vice president, VP.
Wow, what a team.
Yeah.
That would really make America great again. We need to let Trump know about that. Thank you.
Marcus G90 says, hey, Jesse, how's your little business doing?
How's your little business going? That's what black women do. You can have an empire running. and you see the black woman, whether it's your mama or your aunt or a friend, female, whatever. Hey, I heard you had a little business. How's your little business going? Jealousy. What y'all? Thank you.
All demeaning.
Yeah.
Eric.
What makes you the man don't make it?
Five coffees. What the world did yesterday has nothing to do with what you do today. Be in the world, but not of it. JLP.
I rest my case. Thank you.
Jonathan says, facts are simple and facts are straight. Facts are lazy and facts are late. Facts all come with points of view. Don't do what I want them to. Just twist the truth around. Living turned inside out. Getting the best of them. Nothing on the face of things.
Thank you. Amazing. Appreciate it.
I abbreviated it slightly to make it more pithy. Thank you, Jonathan.
Keep it pithy.
Pastor Chatelet on Rumble says, Tony Black's served in government and office before, during, and after the American Revolution. You've been lied to, grifter, Tony. Cannot have our guns and will not subvert our Constitution. Big smile.
Tony from California doesn't want to know the truth at all. Really. Tony wouldn't recognize the truth if he could say hello.
That's a fact.
Amazing. Thank you.
To Anthony on Cash App, those darn Europeans, he didn't say darn, in the ghetto, amazing.
In the ghetto.
Such a classic.
Amazing, thank you.
Kale sent a gift membership on Jesse Lee Peterson channel. Thank you, Kale.
Right on. Thank you, Kale. I appreciate it.
Mike Young, Tony from California, hates white people, period.
That's for sure. Oh, no, what's up with Tony? What amazing. Thank you.
Ken says, love both your guys' shirt today. Shaking hands emoji. Hake and JLP dripped out.
Amazing. Nice. Thank you. This shirt is so comfortable, too. Oh, that reminds me.
Hey.
There was a young man at the meeting. I was fellowship last Sunday. And I believe he and his father was from San Francisco area, somewhere around there. And he is a cook. The young man is a cook. And he brought me a sweet potato pie that he made. Good. I don't know you. I forgot your name, so I apologize for that. But if you can call my producer at jesseleepeterson.com or send him a note with your name on it, I do appreciate it. We can mention that. But thank you for the sweet potato pie. As a matter of fact, Derek, he black. He like almost ate it all up. I had to really keep him away from him a little bit. But he wants you to, he want another one. He like, I want him to mail me a pie.
Derek wants to put it in an order.
Yeah, he want to place an order. So if you hear my voice and you can contact producer at jesseleepeterson.com, send your contact information. Derek want another sweet potato pie, and so do I. What the? He said it was like a pat of the bell pie. He put pat of the shame. And nice. You white. Thank you for the sweet potato pie. Really, it's delicious. Thank you.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Pastor Chatelet says, we need to make a pool and try to guess what state Toby calling from each day. LOL.
Who?
Well, he says Toby instead of Tony.
Oh.
Fazul says, emergency room fights actually make sense. First aid is right there. What the?
The blacks fighting in the emergency room. Who fight in the emergency room? Thank you.
Elijah with a diamond. These black bees got rabies or something. And he didn't say just bees.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Elijah. Sunday Fitness says, Tony from California sounds like a fat guy. LOL. I heard he claimed he's fit, which I believe.
You believe him?
That's the only thing I believe him about.
Oh, yeah? Oh, man, I don't know. I hadn't even thought of it.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Jason, Kilo Alpha Nerd here again. Hey, Tony from Cali. Listen up, racist. Irish government suggests there are 10,000 undocumented Irish immigrants in the United States. Others' reports suggested the number could be as high as 50,000. If you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Google it. Thank you for your coffee.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Jonathan from Northern Ireland here, guys, says someone with three coffees. Just to add to earlier, was it that it was my son who shouted, what the, at two black people? He was quoting Jesse from me having the show on the TV, the less than two-year-old.
Right.
He associates each catchphrases with black people. He shouts amazing when he likes something. Thanks for helping course correct my life. Because God's speaking through you, my family will not suffer Satan's generational anger. Perfect right peace all day long.
Right on. Stay with us, stay with us, stay with us. And tell your son I said, what the? Amazing. Thank you.
Jonathan also says, could you please do a shout out for other Irish and Northern Irish listeners?
Shout out to the Northern Irish listeners.
Shout out.
Shout out. Amazing.
And love from my family.
Yes.
He says.
Right on. Back. Love you and your family as well. Thank you.
And you can really contact the front desk if you like, sir. He wants to contact Bond.
Okay.
Uncle Tom, too, says John.
Your number?
Well, I don't know if you can call the number easily from Ireland, but go on the website, rebuildingtheman.com, and there's contact info. You can email whatever.
And the number is 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND, just in case.
And John F. has a tip about Uncle Tom, too.
Thank you.
It's very interesting, and I'll pass that along to you, Jesse.
Thank you. Amazing.
Argalunas says, fried Italian-style pork chops for dinner.
Good.
Misty says, Jason, where are you, Monica? We miss you. Pleading eyes emoji. Bambi eyes, broken heart.
Amazing. Thank you.
Very nice. And shout out to the top contributors on the DLive crew. Travis on Cash App says, what you call a black lawyer, brother-in-law. And he asks, is Joel dead? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. What the?
And shout out to the supporters on the Rumble crew. And thank you, guys. I do believe that may be all for now.
Thank you all. Amazing. John is a first-time caller out of Washington. John, you are on the air.
Yes, Jesse. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
This is concerning some of the comments you have made in the past on a consistent basis that black people were better off for the civil rights movement than they are now. And any person who, Jesse, is familiar with the situation and can interpret the data that's made available, putting it in perspective, knows very well that this is not true.
What's not true?
That black folks are were better off before the civil rights movement, Jesse, than what you claim they are today.
Why you say it's not true?
Why it's not true? Statistically speaking, Jesse, the average black household income in 1950 was $3,300 a year. Today's average black household income is $53,000 a year.
What does that have to do with being better off? That doesn't make you better off.
Well, you're looking at it from an economical, social perspective, Jesse.
No, I'm not, you can have money and still be worse off and not be better off. Black people were better off because of their character. They have families, less than 10% of children born out of wedlock. They did not blame the white man. They didn't think that anyone or anything could hold them back. They was free to do whatever they wanted to do. So they were better off. They didn't have black leaders, and they were not socialists in the way that they are now. They weren't violent, begging and blaming and killing people. And none of those things was happening before the civil rights movement.
Well, you further,
so why do you say that they were better off when they're more violent now? They beg more. They want reparations. They are not able to do anything that's good. They destroy and not build up. Why do you think that that's better?
Well, simply because, Jesse, you are looking at it from a negative perception.
What do you mean by that?
You are saying things that are used for the purpose of validating your ill conceptions of the situation.
Is that true that those things are happening with the blacks now?
No, Jesse, please listen. There are obviously some sociological ills that persist in the black community. But at the same time, what you do is you systematically ignore all of the positive things. Look at the insurmountable number.
Why are you erasing the issue that blacks are very destructive, blacks are very angry, and we have put the blacks in our government. And then now they're in Congress, senators, their police, and schools, and all they're doing is destroying. And then they want DEI, and my country has given them DEI. Now they're in positions where they're not even qualified to have because they're black, not because they're qualified. Is that better or worse?
Well, Jesse, listen, please listen.
I will, but is that better or worse?
Well, you are distorting the facts here.
Is it better or worse?
Well, is it better or worse? It's not either one. It's not either one.
How is it not either one? It has to be one or the other. Is it better or worse?
Well, it's better.
So what's wrong with them? They need DEI. They don't have to be qualified. What's better about that?
Jesse, to say that blacks who hold responsible positions are not qualified.
They're not.
Jesse, if you would spend some time and research the subjects and communicate with companies,
The companies don't even want to hire the blacks. They do it because they're afraid not to.
Well, you are pulling things down out of the sky,
no,
sir.
No,
that's grossly dishonest on your part.
But
especially for a person
They tell me that they don't want to hire blacks because, first of all, the blacks are not qualified. Number two, they have bad attitudes. They don't show up for work. If they do show up, they half-ass work. and then they want to sue you.
Well, now, who told you that, Jesse?
Many employees have told me. White, foreign employees, employer, and everyone. I hear it all the time, John.
Well,
nobody
Jesse,
wanted to hire the blacks because the blacks are not qualified.
Those right-wing talking points are nothing but idiocy.
Why you call them a right-wing?
Jesse, because there is no truth in that.
No, and the real truth is there are people who don't want to hire black people.
Well, you have, Jesse.
Would you hire a black person?
Well, Jesse, of course I would. Jesse,
why
listen,
would you
please,
do that?
Well, please listen. Please listen.
Are you black? Are you black, John?
Well, I think my race is irrelevant, Jesse.
No,
we have two human beings
John,
who are communicating with each other. Even if I was white, black,
are
blue, pink,
black,
or purple,
John?
What difference would it make?
Is you black?
What difference would no?
Is you black, John?
What? No. What difference would it make?
Is you black,
Jesse?
John?
Is Jesse a sound man of sound thinking?
Are you black, John? Tell me that real fast.
Is Jesse a sound,
John,
logical
are you black?
Thinking
Tell
man?
Me that real, one more time. Tell me real fast. Are you black?
Yes, I am.
I rest my case.
Well,
call
sure
me again, John. Bye, y'all. I'm out of time.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Check out my book, For Race to Responsibility. I show you how I was able to overcome anger. The spirit of anger was taken away from me. I had it. And as a result of having anger, I was insecure. I had doubt, worry, fear. I was in a fallen state and didn't know it. And it wasn't until I went and forgave my mother, who tried to turn me away from my father. I forgave my father for not being there and returned back to him. My spirit connected with his spirit. And through him, I was able to return to God. And I have perfect peace. Perfect love casts out anger. And when anger is gone, fear and doubt, worry, insecurity, suicidal thoughts, all of that is gone. And you are free. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Or if you want an autographed copy, you can go to my website at rebuildingtheman.com or call 800-411-BOND.